We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
To the phones. By the way, great job by Jalen Hurts. If you missed it, Jalen Hurts, it was announced yesterday, has donated $100,000. That's right, $100,000, which is an incredible donation, a tremendous amount of money. Granted, he's got a lot of money, but still, $100,000. You kidding me? And someone help me because I can't quickly remember.
It was for Philadelphia schools for air conditioning.
And
I will just tell you, as a kid who was in public school in Philadelphia for 8 years. There were times where they literally couldn't go to school, and everybody would shut down because it was too hot.
Wow, I wonder how many schools that affects.
Well, if one can't open, they all close.
No, I don't mean that. His 100,000.
Oh,
I wonder, you know.
I mean, some of those buildings are pretty old.
Oh, there's no doubt. Listen, Jalen.
Obviously, awesome
criticism from time to time with how good he is or isn't, and how he presents sometimes at the podium. He's a little boring. He's a little stoic. But that is an incredible gesture and a tremendous, tremendous thing by Jalen Hurts. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Mike in Douglasville. Mike, are you both in shock and all of the hammer? 247!
Congratulations.
Hello, Mike. Thank you. Let me tell you something, Mike. I don't need your little congratulations, all right? They freaking Pink Panthered me.
All right. Listen to you.
Down.
Rain it in here, big dog, all right?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So
they Pink Panthered me, he said.
It's a verb now. It's great.
So it did hurt deep down.
Well, I kind of liked it because I liked the song.
All right.
And I associate as the Panthers.
It's kind of classy.
It is classy.
Yeah.
So we now have four songs. We got Darth Vader, Benny Hill, Pandering Pink Peeper, and we have the patent music. All right, Mike, we keep cutting you off.
We don't have the patent music. That does not
count.
We did
it one time. So.
All right, Mike, go ahead, man.
I was about to say, is this cutting against my time here? What's happening?
Sorry, Mike.
No, you're
sorry.
Good.
We got off track.
Richie, me and you have not agreed very often lately, but I will agree with you on this, with the Embiid knee and not feeling 100% confident in it. I told you guys previously about my shoulder, how many times I dislocated, got surgery, and everything like that.
Yeah.
That was back in 2011 I got surgery. I did not feel comfortable with my shoulder and confident in the clicks and the bumps and the weird feelings you get from it for probably about, honestly, three or four years. It just kept throwing me off every single time. So, I mean, that's a legit thing.
Anytime they open you up, weird things happen. The joint is going to be different. It's going to sound different. It's going to feel different. And until he gets accustomed to all the different feelings, he's just going to be a little bit sheepish.
Absolutely. And then when it comes to a joint that you constantly use, a knee or a shoulder or something like that, there are so many different ways that it's going to click over the next couple of games or years or, throughout his life.
Yeah.
It's just going to throw him off. So, I mean, that's a legit.
All right, Mike, what do you got on the Eagles here, my man? Talk to us.
I'll be honest. Going into last season, we came up with a lot of reasons why the Eagles would not make the Super Bowl, this previous season. But one of the main ones, and I hardly ever even hear it now, is two new coordinators. These guys got to grow and understand exactly what they're doing. It's going to take time. So, with saying that, guys, I think the Birds are going to be good next year. I don't think we're going to the Super Bowl, unfortunately. I think it's going to be a year or two process, especially.
I tend to think you're correct.
So many new starters. We were talking last year. It's honestly almost the same conversation as last offseason. A whole bunch of new players because whether they left a free agency or retired or whatever it may be, plus the two new coordinators. Guys, we're going to have six new starters on this defense, plus Vic Fangio running however.
The good news, though, with six starters this time is it's an upgrade. Unlike new starters last year when it was a downgrade. Mike, give me an answer. Who or what is untouchable?
How about the Declaration of Independence?
In what regard? Physically or it just stands the test of time?
See, I kind of wanted to go with both, but since you put it on, since you're making me choose, that's tough. I'm going to go.
I don't know that he has to.
You don't
choose.
Have to.
It really is a good answer because
it could be both.
He doesn't have to choose.
No,
you can't touch that thing. And it's also in the concept is
right.
untouchable. Like, I really like that answer.
No, I like it, though. I was just
it's all-encompassing.
I was just curious what his mindset was there.
But I really like it that you cannot touch that thing. It is impossible for you to touch it because it's in that container.
I'm gonna take a poke at the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men
you ain't wrong,
are created
Jeff.
Equal.
You ain't wrong.
I got a flaw in that. I got a flaw.
It's a little touchable.
I need women in there. I need women in there.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome. You're
Joe,
welcome.
You're the first person to ever say that, which is amazing, too.
Well, believe me when I tell you, other people
I know,
said it.
I'm joking. I know.
215-592-9494. It's 94WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today, as we do every Friday, away from the Taste of Cake studio and at the beautiful, tremendous Borgata here in Atlantic City. You know, an interesting tweet. We were just talking there about the Eagles, and Sheil Kapati put out a tweet earlier this week. I thought in many ways kind of sums up sort of the it could go either way nature of this upcoming Eagles season. Because we're talking a lot today, if you missed early in the show, about whether this is a true Super Bowl contender, whether Howie Roseman, as he approaches the draft, is it, you know, got that plug-and-play element to try to firm up a Super Bowl roster. And, like, let's go get a guard if we don't have a guard, and, you know, that's the thing. Or same thing can apply to corner. Or is it more about looking ahead to the long term, best player available, you know, no matter the position. That whole thing, if you don't feel you're more on the doorstep of the Super Bowl. Here's what Shield tweeted earlier this week. I found this pretty interesting. He said, 2024 is shaping up to be one of the most interesting Eagles seasons of my lifetime. Offensive skill group plus Vic Fangio equals Super Bowl ceiling. Yet Sirianni knows he's coaching for his job and that the organization considered replacing him with Belichick. Ultimate boom or bust team. I think there's a lot of truth to that. The one thing he did not address that I think is worthy of that level of consideration is Hurts. You know, because the biggest thing that holds me back on saying Super Bowl contender for the Eagles is Hurts, which is ironic because he almost won the Super Bowl, you know, 15 months ago, 14 months ago.
Man.
So it's a weird one. But I was so dissatisfied with what I saw from him last year, it scares me for what's up ahead.
I have a lot of faith that it's going to look a lot different and a lot better. And there are a few very simple corrections that can make it look a lot different and a lot better in a hurry. You know, when Jalen goes out there and doesn't break the pocket to the right or left at the drop of a hat, that's going to be different. And
well,
I expect that Kellen Moore, that is job number one
that
on
is,
his
that
list.
Is, that is
He's
job
coming
one.
In here and saying, what I saw last year can no longer happen. That is not NFL offense.
It's actually probably more the quarterback coach than the offense coordinator
Nussmeier,
to
right.
work with them on that. Like, well, they really do have to drill down on that.
As
because,
a group,
because Kellen Moore can
figure out how to prevent that from happening as a group.
Last year was year four, John.
They're
going to show. You know what I mean? Year four.
Okay, I'm telling you, they're going to pick up blitzes. They're going to have sight adjusts this year. They're going to have hot routes, and we're going to see how Jalen does with all that stuff. And I'm positive you're going to like the way it looks.
All right, to the phones. Let's talk to Derek. He's calling from Trenton. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning. How you guys doing today? Just calling to touch upon
real quick. Hold on, Derek. When you just said good morning, how you guys doing today? Calling to touch. So when you asked the question, you weren't really asking it, right? Like, that was a run-on. Like, good morning, how you guys doing? Here's what I want to talk about.
Well, I was trying to avoid the banter that we were
I think that's
about
good work by Derek, actually.
Yes.
I think he's like, he's still saying hi, but he knows you're good.
There you go.
Well done, Derek.
All right, well done, sir. Thank go
you.
Ahead.
Thank you. All right, well, anyway, I'm just thinking about the Sixers, how, you know, yesterday I was really excited, and then, you know, today I woke up again and, you know, thinking about the Joe L thing and, you know, how, you know, Maxie seems to be a little bit on his close side. Tobias shouldn't even be playing. You know, so I don't know. I don't know. It's all going to come down to the D, obviously, how Joe L feels. Like Richie says, he's not, you know, used to these feelings. And I guess the only way you can really cope with that is just remember who owns the team, and you always feel better if they lose, you know.
You're talking about Josh Harris?
Yes.
Well, I don't feel better if they lose because I don't like him. I just don't like him.
That makes me feel better to know that he's not happy. So, you know, we could all get by.
All right, Derek, give me an answer. Who or what is untouchable?
Okay, well, one day it might even be you, President of the United States.
the president is untouchable. Well, not necessarily. I mean, four of them have been assassinated.
Yeah.
Nixon got booted out of office.
Yeah.
A couple have been impeached, although ultimately stayed in office. So I would not say a position where people get, you know, murdered, what we call assassinated at that
level. I was going to go with impeached, but I like the murder part. That's
I mean, you know, JFK blown away, and Billy Joel never should have said.
But now you keep
putting it out there again.
That.
Listen,
you keep
he's the one.
Don't you think that's worse?
He's the one in 1990, 27 years after a U.S. president was assassinated, that thought it was appropriate to have Billy, to have JFK blown away. What else do I have to say in a song? Right? Could have done without that. And Caroline Kennedy could have done without that.
You
as
ruined
well.
It for me now.
It's just the way I think. I always thought. Look, it's a great song. I always thought it was inappropriate.
I never thought twice about it. Right. It's just a colloquialism. It's just an expression.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, he's not. Come on.
He's not wrong.
He's not.
He's not wrong right there. Let me give you a fact that, to me, speaks to how wide open this NBA thing is right now and the opportunity for the Sixers in front of them if they can get their act together. This is the first time these last 5 years, the first time since the late 1970s turned to the early 1980s, so you're now talking about, you know, roughly 35 years, that there's been a, excuse me, 45 years, that there's been a different NBA champion for 5 years in a row.
Wow.
Yeah, like the NBA, you think about the last 40 years other than these five, it's been defined by Magic and Kareem, Bird doing his thing. You know, yeah, I mean, look, no disrespect to Doc and Moses. It was only one. Like, Jordan was six. Hakeem had two. Shaq and Kobe had five. Tim Duncan had five. Like, we all know the deal, right?
And the Warriors.
And the Warriors, that's right. And then you get a couple of, you know, randos in there, like Dirk's one. And, you know, obviously the Pistons got two. I don't want to call them rando. But
you know, we have the best odds for Klay Thompson right now. At least when
he,
I looked yesterday.
Totally
I think
cooked,
he is.
John.
I just cooked.
I couldn't
totally
believe
cooked.
It when
totally
I saw
cooked.
It. No, actually, I think the Warriors were first, but the non-Warriors
yeah.
team.
Yeah.
The Sixers.
It doesn't really appeal to me. And I love Clay. He had a great career, but had.
I'm good on that. Yeah.
Yeah, had is the unfortunate reality.
The
but,
way his last game looked.
Terrible. Terrible.
How does he live that down?
Well, you live it down because you're going to go in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
you
got a ton of rings, and you're one of the great shooters ever.
Listen, he might
that.
Be the second best shooter ever. In all due respect to Ray Allen and Reggie Miller, I think I'd take Clay too behind Steph. I really
I
mean
agree
that.
With you.
I really mean
fully
that.
Fully agree with you.
But anyway, so if you haven't followed it the last 5 years, we've had Raptors 2019, Lakers 2020, Bucks in 2021. It was the Nuggets in 23.
Yep.
See how I skipped over that?
And who? Wow.
And who was 22?
I don't remember either.
So it was Lakers, Bucks.
Was it the Warriors again?
The Warriors again.
Yes.
That's right.
Yep.
Right.
Good call.
Warriors again. So, you know, it's wide open. There's no LeBron in his prime where you can't get there if you're in his conference. There's no Steph with Durant. There's no Michael Jordan. There's no Shaq and Kobe. There really isn't. It is clearly the most wide open NBA since the late 1970s. It's the most wide open NBA since Larry Bird and Magic Johnson were drafted in the NBA. And, like, everything shifted and changed. And so you got to look at that stretch. I think it's 77 to 81, I believe, is the stretch, where you had five championships in 5 years, five different teams. I think that's what it was. And then, you know, the Lakers in 82, it's like, okay, they won in 80, they won in 82, and then off you go. But, you know, so it's
well,
there.
That's great.
It's
I
there
mean,
to be. It's there to be had.
Great, because we do have resources, and that's another thing that we haven't talked about moving forward. We do have some resources moving forward.
Well, that's
after
true. Yeah,
this
that's,
season
that's right.
For those purposes. Yeah, this is a whole different experience than what the duration of our show
it is
has provided.
That's right. All right, 215-592-9494. A comment from a New York talk show host about Sixers fans. We'll get to that up ahead. Plus, we have a bathtub time machine, unique version, Philly, New York in the playoffs. Bathtub time machine, Philly, New York playoff matchups. Elliot on the NFL draft around 8:40 and phone calls throughout the show on this Friday morning from Borgata on 94 WIP.
Spring is here and my to-do list at home's only getting longer. But instead of getting stressed about it, I'm going to get some help by calling the cooling and plumbing experts at Horizon Services for all of the repairs and upgrades my home needs. Solving cooling system breakdowns, leaky pipes, clogged drains, even water heater disasters. They get the job done and get it done right the first time. And right now, Horizon will help you get all those home projects checked off by offering spring savings of $50 off any repair, up to $400 off water heaters with same-day estimates, even drain clearings for only $119. Their pros can check off just about everything on my home to-do list. So if you want to solve all your home's repairs or enhance its comfort and value, I highly recommend the team at Horizon. To schedule your service, visit their website at horizonservices.com/WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Yeah, that could be a winning answer. Oops, sorry. I talked over him.
Can't touch this.
There you go. Untouchable. Can't touch this. Big answer. All right. Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie from Borgata, 94 WIP. All right, two questions here. Then we'll get eventually this segment to Elliot on the NFL draft and everything else, including a beat the hammer. Philly, New York, playoff edition.
Bathtub time machine.
What did I say? Oh, yeah.
Beat the hammer, you said.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll go for, you know, Ernie Banks said let's play two. Maybe I'll pad my stats here. All right. Two different rando questions. I keep saying rando today. I don't know why. Number one, Jay Wright. Who do you think he's rooting for? I mean, this is a weird
one. Oh, wow. Great
like, you're
question,
from Philly.
Joe.
You're a legit Sixers fan. He grew up here.
Yeah.
Okay. But you got three different players. Not only that you know and love and played for, that won a national championship
yep.
for you.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson won two of the national won two of them.
Three of his players on one team.
Correct.
I think it's going to be impossible for him to not have that pull toward the Knicks side of things.
I mean, that is really weird.
The answer is probably both. You know what I mean?
Seltzer, that's not.
I don't know what else to say.
Well,
I mean,
what about Kyle
there?
Lowry? Didn't he coach Kyle Lowry?
Oh, yeah,
another
Kyle
good point.
Lowry.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
right.
Kyle's won an NBA championship, right?
And did not win him a championship at Villanova.
So, you know, he's going with Jalen. No,
early.
I'm kidding.
Anyway, that's a.
There's a St. Joe Hawk on the Knicks, too. Charlie Brown Jr.
Charlie, I remember him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good name.
It is a good day.
I would say so. All right, so that's one question. Here's the other question. Thursday night next week, and I saw someone on Twitter wrote this, so let me be clear. This was certainly not an idea conceived from my brain because I'm not smart enough to think this far ahead, but a good question by someone on Twitter who posed this. Josh Harris, Thursday night. Where is he going to be? You got the Sixers' first playoff game within this series, Game 3, Sixers Knicks. He's at many Sixers games. He's always at the playoff games. It's also the night of the NFL draft, and the Washington Commanders are likely drafting their next future quarterback.
He'll be in Washington.
I agree.
I think so,
it's
too.
A bigger deal to him. I mean,
it's a bigger
you know
deal.
That.
For him, it's a bigger deal. Irritating, right?
Incredibly irritating.
Yeah. I mean, I can also say I don't necessarily need to see his face sitting there along the arena.
No.
I agree with you, John. It's like it shouldn't be allowed. I mean, I get that we're in the world you can own what you can own. Some leagues used to have rules about you can't own in other sports, and I guess he just found the three leagues that you can crank it up in. But it's really frustrating. I'll say that. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Drew. He's calling from Westchester. Good morning, Drew.
Hey, good morning, folks. I'll start with the Phillies and then move to the Eagles. So with the Phillies, look, I think anything short of a sweep this weekend would be unacceptable. This White Sox team makes the 2015 Phillies look like world beaters. They
You're right.
Score less than three runs a game. They've been shut out six times. So don't mess around. Get run support for Zach Wheeler when he pitches. Go out and just sweep these guys and hopefully, because I know, I think we're on a 10-game road trip after that, so we're probably going to lose a couple games there, but just get this sweep and get off so we can get this thing off and running a little
Look,
bit.
Look, Drew, three is better than two. I don't think two is unacceptable, but I think three is more likely than one. I'll just put it that way. I mean, I can never say winning two out of three is unacceptable, but you certainly want to get three against the worst team in baseball.
Wouldn't it be a nice pad, though, two series, three games, like, as you're saying, a 10-game road trip on the horizon. Yeah, we're six above. I like that pad, and we might need it. It's going to be a little rocky as we travel and play abroad.
Yeah, I know you have the Braves playing some games against, like, the Marlins coming up, too, so you just want to keep stacking wins and all. On the Eagles, the thing that's holding me back from believing they're a true Super Bowl contender right now is I just keep asking myself, are we good enough along the lines? And I feel like we haven't had a lot of seasons where we've had to ask that. I guess I watched Cam Jurgens' press conference the other day, and, like, he said all the right things. I think he's going to be pretty good, but it kind of hit me when I was watching it that, like, wow, like, Kelsey's really – not here, and I'm not sure that we've processed, like, just how big of a loss that could be.
I agree,
like,
with
say,
you, Drew.
Say you're driving in, like, the fourth quarter for a go-ahead touchdown, just kind of like his, like, presence and savvy there is.
And by the way, so, Drew, it's not just that. It's Fletcher Cox and Hassan Reddick. I mean, the Eagles lost some tremendous lumber. Now, they signed others. Let me be clear. Saquon is a great player. Bryce Huff, we'll see. You know, we'll see. But, my God, losing Cox, Kelsey, and Hassan Reddick in one off season, that is a big blow.
Yeah, and that's why I really want to see how we go for some immediate impact in the draft, whether it's trading up for an edge rusher or drafting, you know, a future tackle, but a guy who can play guard right now. I can't have someone, like, sitting for a year.
Answer here. Who or what is untouchable?
You got it. How about Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak?
Probably is. Joe D's hitting streak. That's a great answer. Joe D might find his way.
What's the closest anyone's come?
Pete Rose, 44, 1978.
And then it's 38 after that, or 39 maybe.
What
Molitor
did Jimmy
got
get to?
38.
Get to, like, is that what I was saying? Okay.
And Paul Molitor got to.
39, I think Molitor got to. Yeah. Was one ahead of that.
That's the thing in sports I'd really love to say, because there's no steroid element that would take away the wonder and the joy of it. Like, if a guy hits 70 homers or 60 homers, you're always going to wonder. You might not know, but you're going to wonder, is it legit, is it not legit? If a guy goes on a 57-game hitting streak, it's less about power. And granted, steroids theoretically can help you because, you know, we've heard about it helps eyesight and all that. But I don't think America would be doubting the legitimacy of a 57-game hitting streak if it happened. I just don't think it's ever going to happen. Now, James, you might not know this. Robin Ventura did it in college baseball.
I've heard that before, yeah.
You've heard that steroids help eyesight?
I've heard it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's true, but I've heard it.
I've heard it, too.
Yep.
Yeah. That was one of the theories on Bonds.
Bonds. That was one of the big things, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean.
Yeah, think about that in baseball.
I've never even considered this possibility. Yeah. Like, your eyesight can be 20/20, or, like, that ratio of 20/20 is, like, here's what a normal eye sees at 20 feet. Here's what I see, or whatever.
Right. And it doesn't matter so much for you. You picking up a linebacker, no big deal. You can see the guy.
Right.
But Barry
Bonds. Talking about the seams
of a baseball.
When you can actually see that. So how good was his eyesight? Like, how good did his
eyesight
become?
Are you really asking me the question?
Okay. 20.
James, that was one of those moments, right?
Yep.
Jimmy, did they track
Bonds
this?
Did Bonds tell you, Joe? Did he tell you?
Yes, Barry Bonds told me that his eyesight improved.
From 2020 to 2015 minus is what he said?
It improved 21.7% from what it had been.
215-592-9494.
Did they?
That was a new piece. He's never admitted
that he's done it, John. Yeah, so, like, there's no, like,
all right, let's get to Vonta Smith. You know, he said something the other day at his press conference I actually found fascinating on a lot of levels. He was asked a question about now, you know, with the new contract and leadership. And his answer was really forthcoming. And as I heard him talk, I thought of Hurts. So, of course, Hurts has the personality he has. Maybe the Eagles are trying to get him to be a little different. Maybe they're not. Who knows? We've heard rumblings there. Devontae gives you I am who I am, even if I'm making more money thing. Fascinating answer, forthcoming answer. Here's Devontae Smith the other day.
He remained a captain last year, and we also saw certain points in the season when you weren't happy with the product after games. You're pretty honest and forthright about that. How do you feel like you've developed into that role? And now that you have some stability that keeps you here through 2028, do you think you'll be more vocal now in the locker room?
I wouldn't say I'd probably be more vocal. I'm going to still be me, you know, the quiet guy, let everybody else, you know, do majority of the talking. But I think captain or not, I was going to feel the same way about how the end of the season went. When you're somebody that puts a lot into this game and know the work that you put in and you expect a lot out of it, that's kind of the feeling that you have. But you also understand, you know, that's part of the game. You're going to have ups and downs and things like that. Everything is not going to always go smooth. So, you know, you have to always be ready for it. And when it comes, you have to be ready to respond.
You know, I mean, like, I love Devontae, and I want to be clear. I'm not criticizing him here. I'm really not. I love the guy. It's just interesting. He can get away with saying that.
Yes.
If Jalen said that, it would be a major problem.
It would be a
major story.
Because of it's a different position, different expectations.
Yeah.
Jalen, if he's subdued, it affects others in a way that Devontae's non-speaking, non-activity, non-acting out, it doesn't. Acting out's not the proper word. Jalen needs to be a leader vocally and by example.
Yeah.
And it's clear that that's not something he's comfortable doing, and he's working on getting better at it. That's just the reality of the situation. Devontae doesn't have to work on something he doesn't feel comfortable with.
And here's the deal. Wide receiver doesn't have to be general.
Right.
Quarterback has to be general. I mean, that's it. That's the rules.
And it's a shortcoming for Jalen.
Yeah.
He needs to get better at that part.
All right, coming up in 1 minute, a comment from New York City about 76ers fans. That plus a bathtub time machine, Sixers, not only Sixers, Philadelphia, New York, playoff sports history. We'll get to that coming up all in 1 minute.
It's time to get excited because new iced honey bun multi-packs are coming your way. Now you can find both delicious Tasty Cake honey bun flavors in 6-count boxes. Whether you love to bite into a soft and cinnamony iced or glazed honey bun, Tasty Cake has got you covered. Pick up a pack for your family today and bring home your favorite tasty treats. Make today tasty with Tasty Cake. Accept no substitutes.
And as we broadcast on this Friday morning from Borgata, entering a big weekend of Philadelphia sports, we'll ask you the Twitter poll questions of the day. All three questions brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new 2024 Chevy Trax arriving daily at Armin Chevrolet. Starts at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, first poll question, are the Eagles a legit Super Bowl contender? Yes or no? Second, who wins the series here coming up, Sixers or Knicks? Third poll question, do you think Nick Nurse, and we all think he should play Tobias less, do you think Nick Nurse will significantly limit Tobias's playing time moving forward, yes or no? Now, New York City, they got their own set of passionate fans, they got their own set of talk show hosts. Evan Roberts is one of them, one of the more prominent talk show hosts. He said something yesterday that certainly has been making the rounds about us Sixers fans, or specifically the, you know, 20,000 or so that were in the arena the other night when Bricking for Chicken happened. It did turn the game around, but Evan Roberts contends that Sixers fans took it way too serious and didn't have their eye on the prize, which was, you know, the game. Here's Evan Roberts, WFAN New York talk show host, ripping, you know, a lot of people.
So Caleb Martin goes to the line. This is a play-in game! Misses the first free throw. All of a sudden, the dopes in Philadelphia start getting so excited about free chicken that they're standing up, they're hooting and they're hollering. Mike Breen even called attention to it.
Well, maybe they were just hoping he would miss.
Ah,
Tiki.
Right.
Tiki.
They're also playing the promotion in the arena, getting the fans to get excited about it. We would do that at MSG.
No, we would not.
What's wrong with that?
No, we would not. We would never in a Knick playoff game. How dare you insult Knick fans like that? Dare you? The Knick fan would never celebrate a missed free throw to get free chicken.
All right, so listen, his point is made. Now, the easy thing for any of us to do, for me to do, is like, the heck with that guy. Loser! I kind of think he's right.
What?
I kind of
think
he's
right. Are you serious?
And it turned the game around, but I kind of think he's
you
right.
You don't think New York people get excited about free chicken? Of course they
do. I don't know.
Totally
in
a second. Everyone in a loves. Second.
Come on, man. He missed two free throws. That's the
yes,
cool part,
thank
man.
You.
Yeah, they're cheering.
It's a neck and neck game. He missed two, three free throws.
But it wasn't neck and neck.
They needed.
I would have been in distraught mode. If I'm in the arena, I was in distraught mode sitting at home watching it. My team's down, whatever they were down at that point, 11 points or something. Here's my thing. Like, first off, not that big a deal, okay? But I put it a little bit akin. And look, I'm appreciative that it happened. I actually think it truly turned the game around. But my point is, to me, it's a little bit, and James, you know, this has been in my crawl for years, when Phillies fans throw the ball back after the opposing team
that?
Hits a home run.
That's a Cubs thing. I get you being annoyed about that. Yeah.
But
that's
no, but
Cubs
it's when
thing.
People cheer that, James. People like player on the other team hits a home run.
But you're cheering something good here.
The
ball. This is a positive
now
thing.
Now I have Phillies fans cheering.
No, and I agree with you
that. The ball has been
that.
Thrown back, and the cheering is happening about 17 seconds after a home
I've
run.
I've agreed
been hit.
With you on
I'm
this.
I'm not in the mood to cheer.
I've agreed with you on that, but they missed free throws. Like, why wouldn't you cheer?
Yeah, I think
they missed
two totally different things.
Like, it's not like he made the free throws and they got chicken. They're like, thanks, buddy, for getting us chicken. Like,
well,
they
and
the free
I think
throws.
It's when they miss the free throws and you get the free chicken, or I do miss the Frosties. Like, it's proof that
too.
The crowd is impacting the game, which, you know, like Philly fans, we thrive off
for
that.
Sure.
I just think it's a dumb point. Like, that's a nitpicky thing to get mad at Philly fans for.
Right.
I agree with you. I think it's dumb. I think it's
very
really dumb. Yeah.
There's
just,
no doubt
it's
that Knicks fans
soft.
Would be doing the same
absolutely.
Exact thing.
Agree.
So stop.
It's
all
free.
Right. Well, make of it what you will. If you want to take a bite out of Evan Roberts, 215-592-9494. All right, let's do something. We do it often in the football season, rarely when it's non-football season. Let's slink together inside the bathtub time machine.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath long about a Saturday night.
And we can all take a bath on Saturday night, and hopefully as a celebratory bath with the Sixers when we go to bed holding a 1-0 lead. But we shall see. Look, here's the deal. It's the Sixers and the Knicks, but it's also Philadelphia and New York. It has happened before in the playoffs. It doesn't happen, you know, every year. There's a lot of years it does not happen. And obviously, it has crossed all the sports through the years, at least the main ones. Let's go inside bathtub time machine. Philadelphia, New York, playoff history. Let's start with the National Football League. You know, the first time the Eagles played the Giants in a playoff game, and of course they've never played the Jets in a playoff game, the Eagles lost that playoff game to rookie Lawrence Taylor, who basically shut down the future of the Eagles. That was it for the Vermeil and Jaws and Wilbert, you know, making the playoff thing in 81. But the Eagles have gotten them other times, like in 2006. And yes, I'm skipping over 2000 and freaking Seahorn and Ron Dixon
Ron
with the
Dixon.
Kick return. Enough of that game. Let's go to 06. Great game, tight game, tough game, tie game. Brian Westbrook right behind John Runyon. And then final play of the game, David Akers to try to win it.
Detmer just re-signed, puts it up, and Akers drills it. The Eagles have defeated the Giants.
This was a fun one.
Jeff Garcia, David Akers, and the Philadelphia Eagles. Their run continues. They've won six straight now, and they just defeated their division rival, the New York Giants.
It was a great day at Lincoln Financial Field as the Eagles took down the Giants. So, too, was 08. This one not at the link. This one up north. As the Eagles in 08 took out a really good Giants team, you might remember this was after the Eagles had beaten Minnesota, and then they're going up against the one seed, Eli Manning, the one seed Giants, defending champs, and the Eagles beat them 23-11 that day. Hey, let's fast forward to just a couple years ago. 2 years ago, in fact, as the Eagles, that great team they had in 2022, it was a destruction of the Giants, 38-7.
Hurts in the gun. Hurts screens it on the far side to Devontae Smith. Across the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Devontae Smith.
What a great job by A.J. Brown on the outside, the dynamic duo. A.J. Brown gets the block, Smith gets that little quick pass, and he just sprints to the end zone.
All told
that
through
was music, Mike.
All told through the years, the Eagles, three playoff wins against them, the Giants, a mere two. All right, Flyers, let's crank it up here from football to hockey. So Flyers Islanders have had some really memorable ones, including a Flyers win to get to the Cup in 75, which of course they won, an Islanders win in 80 in the Cup, Stickle, the whole deal, the disaster of the 1980 NHL Finals. But Flyers and Islanders through the years, they've battled a few times. Flyers most recently lost to the Islanders in 2020 during the pandemic. You might remember in the bubble that freaking Barzell guy. But the Flyers, Islanders, Flyers 3, Islanders 2 through the years. Let's go Flyers, Rangers. Flyers have the edge there as well, 6-5 through the years. Flyers, the first time they win the Cup, 74. They get to the Cup by beating the Rangers. 1980, some tremendous battles, 85, 86, and 87. Flyers won two of the three of them. Let's go to 97. You know, Eric Lindros, one of the great Flyers players of all time, one of the great Philadelphia athletes of all time, and I would contend his biggest and best goal of his career. Game 4, 97, against Messier, against Gretzky, 6 seconds to go.
Coffey gets it back into the zone. Center. Backhand shot. Wide rebound. Lindros. He scores! Eric Lindros! With 6.8 seconds left, has given the Flyers a 3-2 lead. Can you believe this finish? I bet you Mark Messier can't.
You know, that was a big one because the Flyers were then on the doorstep of getting to the Cup now. As we know, the Cup didn't go so well. But they did advance to the Stanley Cup a couple days later. I'll never forget the guy at the Wells Fargo Center holding up the sign. 99 for Gretzky, minus 11 for Messier, equals 88 for Eric Lindros. And that really was a thrilling Flyers moment from the 1990s. All right, let's move off of hockey. Let's get to Major League Baseball. It's been a couple times, Philadelphia and New York, the Phillies and the Yankees. Seltzer, we're going to keep this one real short, right? I just want to make
sure.
Yeah,
I got nothing to say here.
We got no highlights.
Nothing.
I mean, look, Cliff Lee did his thing in game 109.
Sure.
Joe DiMaggio did his thing in 1950 as the Yankees beat the Whiz Kid Phils 4-0. And then in 09, when the Phils were going for the repeat, instead of the repeat, it was Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter taking out the Phils in 6 games. All right. From baseball, we move to the sport that will be upon us for the next 2 weeks. We move to basketball. The Sixers and the Knicks, obviously, tomorrow night. But let's start Sixers-Nets. Good history there. I still don't even consider the freaking Nets a New York team, all right? New Jersey Nets, the Brooklyn Nets, they're in the outhouse in New York. I mean, who in the hell in New York is actually a Nets fan when you have the Knicks?
New York. That's great.
All right, but whatever. All right, Sixers have played them twice in recent years. 2019, a 4-1 series win. 2023, a Sixers sweep last year. All right, Sixers-Nets, that's small time. Let's go Sixers-Knicks. So the Sixers, 4 times against the Knicks, and the Sixers and Knicks, it's a 3-1 Sixers battle through the years. They beat him in 68. They beat him in 78 with Doc. Now I'm going to get to 89 because that was the last time the Sixers and Knicks played. 1989, the Knicks not only took out the Sixers 3-0, Ewing beating Barkley, but the Knicks literally had the audacity, and I'm not making this up, to literally sweep the Spectrum floor after the Knicks had swept them. Patrick Ewing, a couple of those guys, pulled out brooms, swept the floor right after the game ended. But why focus on 1989 when there's 1983? If we're talking Sixers history, we're talking 83. We're talking the Sixers destroying the Knicks. One of those, you know, foes by Moses Malone. Foe, foe, foe. Turned into foe, five foe. The first foe was defeating Hubie Brown's Knicks. Moses Malone with one of the great plays of his career, going end-to-end, spinning around. Sixers take him out in 4. And we know how that season ended. Sixers-Knicks this season, that year, Sixers, it ended. May 31st, 1983.
Magic Johnson misses a three-pointer. And the Philadelphia 76ers, Maurice Cheeks quiet, knows they're going to be the world champions, folks. And Billy's done it, finally. They asked Julius Erving, would you rather win it at home? And he said no. Because that would mean 72 hours more of wondering, and I've wondered long enough.
That's the dream. That's the goal. You can't get there yet. The next 2 weeks, it's all about Joel Embiid's knee and trying to get past the New York Knicks, which, if his knee's right, they will. If his knee's not right, they won't. Sixers, Knicks, the first round. Then, hopefully on to glory in the coming weeks, the coming months. It's been 41 years since the Philadelphia 76ers have done it, and let's hope sometime soon we see it again. That, ladies and gentlemen, a trip inside the bathtub time machine, Philadelphia, New York history, playoff edition here on WIP. Thank you very much. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll talk to Elliot Shore Parks on the Eagles in the NFL draft coming up in just a couple minutes. Let's get to Steve in Willow Grove right now. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Steve.
Happy Friday, buddy.
Hey, Richie Rich.
Yo.
Thank you. Thank you for willing us a Sixers victory. And positivity is going to lead to a championship. And it's a beautiful thing. So,
Steve, notice what we had to do in bathtub time machine. We had to play the Sixers winning a title, even though it wasn't against the Knicks. You know, we're all trying to push them forward in our own little way.
Well, hey, Joe, if I may.
Yes, sir.
You're talking about your bathtub there.
Yeah.
So that game, the bride and I were up in the Poconos in our hot tub celebrating our wedding, and we saw that game from a jacuzzi.
Look at you. Are you talking about when the Sixers won it all?
When that last, yes.
That's great, man.
We got married. That's when we got married, man. So
good for you.
That's a great one. So, hey, real fast, listen. The winning answer is the hammer, and I had that too. Okay, and there's no doubt about it.
I'm not going to argue, Steve. Answer. You know that.
That's the winning answer. May I give you a winning hammer fact also?
Sure.
Icing on the cake here. So today you proved it again. You went 4 for 5.
Yep.
Your average.
It was a good performance today by Joe.
Thank you.
Solid job.
If we do the analytics and go back to all the victories, your win-loss is great, Joe, but your winning dominance, 4 to 5,
yeah.
five out of five.
Steve, I think the most impressive thing is the grace with which I win.
I have not seen that yet.
Shut his hole!
All right, Steve, good call, my man. All right, Elliot Shore Parks on the NFL draft and the Eagles. That's up ahead in 1 minute's time. Hey, Joe DeCamera here. Let me tell you about PI Dental Center. I was actually texting with Dr. Wolfinger just yesterday. You know, Dr. Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, they've got decades of experience in complex dental treatment. I've been a patient at PI Dental now for 2 decades. My mom, a patient there for 3 decades. Why? Because they're the best. They're sensational at what they do, and they are board-certified prosthodontists who specialize in both the restoration and replacement of teeth. PI Dental Center are also the originators of the teeth in a day. That's a revolutionary treatment that provides fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in just 1 day. Maybe you need year-to-year maintenance, and that would be the ideal scenario. Get yourself there. But if you need a solution to a big problem, definitely get yourself there to Fort Washington PI Dental Center. Start with their website, PIDentalCenter.com. Visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation. All right, 6 days to the draft. And let's talk to our Eagles guy. He's also our Sixers guy, Mr. Elliot Shore Parks. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing this morning?
Quite well, Elliot.
Great, Elliot.
Getting excited for the Sixers and what's going to be a fun weekend here. Hopefully see the Phils win some games as they should against Chicago. All right, Elliot, before we go draft, let's just start broad stroke here on the Eagles. We've been talking a lot today about whether the Eagles are a legit Super Bowl contender. Yes, no. Where would you vote on that one as of right now?
I'd vote no. They're the Eagles, and they're always going to be all in. And if you're in the playoffs, you could argue you're a contender, and they will be in the playoffs. But the three things that, to me, that signify most you're going to be a contender are the quarterback, the offensive line, the defensive line. And all of them are questions heading into next season. The offensive line, they don't know if the center is going to be good, and they have a gaping hole at right guard. The defensive line, we don't know who's going to be the premier edge rusher. And the quarterback's coming off a season where he ended it with the arrow pointing down. So they have outstanding weapons. I like the additions of the coaching staff. I think those they will make the players better. But based off those three things, if I can't go over any of those units, feel great about them, it's hard for me to feel like they're a legit Super Bowl contender heading into next season.
Elliot, Jalen spoke earlier this week, and while he said a lot of nice things and great things, he has received some criticism for, Ike referred to him as detached. You know, he talked about not being involved in the creation of the offense along with Kellen Moore in the early stages of the offseason. His personality certainly did not sound any different. What did you make of Jalen Hurts and what he said and what he didn't say this week when he spoke?
Yeah, so I thought the key quote to – well, there were two key quotes actually from Jalen, I thought. One was the revolving door. He said, you know, he kind of pointed that he wishes he had what the offensive lineman had with Stoutland, someone that's been here for – I don't even know it's maybe 10 years, but certainly the entire time most of the offensive linemen has been here. And, you know, if you look at Jalen, he's had, I think this will be his sixth play caller since he's been with the Eagles, if you include Doug, during his rookie year. So he has had a lot of turnover at the position. Obviously, we know he was close with Brian Johnson. I don't think he's happy Brian Johnson got fired. So, you know, I thought that answer certainly signaled that he wants some stability there. He's spoken about it before. But the other one to me was, talking about he knows this year he needs to be the one to set the culture and that if he wants things done certain ways, he needs to be vocal about it. And he's the one that has to set the mood there. So if he's right about that, I think that's a great step forward for the Eagles, because I think, you know, he obviously, we saw last year on the sideline, he needs to improve, I think, in terms of being a vocal leader. That's not just my opinion or our opinion. I think that's the Eagles' opinion as well. So if he lives by that quote that he said, I think that was probably encouraging.
Elliot, I thought it was interesting last year, I guess it was around October, Nick Sirianni told us that he would consider actually evaluating training camp, the way they ran camp. Has that carried over at all from what you can see with the off-season program? Any off-season program differences that you can see compared to previous years, or is it too early to detect that?
Well, so right now they are in the building, but it's just basically lifting and, you know, kind of getting to know each other. It's, you know, it's not really a ton of football activity right now. But the main difference, at least as of now, from this offseason to last offseason, is that there is going to be a mandatory minicamp. Now, he has had that on the schedule before and then decided not to do it based off how the offseason has gone. So until they actually hold that mandatory minicamp, you know, I think it's fair to wonder if they will do it. But if they do have it, it'll be a change from last year. They have two new coordinators. In the past, you know, they've said they've gotten such great work done that they didn't need it. So that would be the main change as of now. As for training camp, I think you'll probably see some changes there, maybe, you know, a little more hitting or things like that. But, yeah, I think the mandatory minicamp is the big one as of now.
And, Elliot, that was something that the players had voted on in the past to do away with, correct?
So it was something Sirianni worked with them on. It wasn't like the players decided they didn't want it and that was it. I mean, Sirianni and the leadership council decided, you know, that they weren't going to have it. In the past, they've done it as a way to incentivize players to come earlier to take good attendance. So from what I hear, the attendance is really good so far, which is obviously encouraging. But, yeah, it's a Sirianni and leadership council thing.
So you've got a lot going on in that building right now with the guys coming back and the draft upcoming. How much can you get a feel for the Eagles' draft plan just being around?
Yeah, so, you know, being around them at the combine and then the owners' meetings and then, of course, Howie speaking last week, I think going into this draft, if they could pick any player or any position to get in the first round, it would be an offensive lineman that started offensive guard and then move to offensive tackle. I think that is the top of their board. After that, then the question
Elliot, does that say something about Steen?
Yeah.
Should we read into that?
Yeah, I would definitely read into that. I don't think they're super high on Steen. Now, you know, it was his rookie year. He's clearly going to be on the roster. I think it's somewhat noteworthy that they moved his locker to where Cam Jurgens was. In all my time covering the Eagles, they've always put the starting five offensive linemen right in a row. So right now it goes Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson. They put Cam Jurgens in Kelsey's locker, and then they have Steen and then Lane Johnson. So
as of now,
that's Steen's job. But I would be surprised and shocked, actually, if they don't add some serious competition for him. And I think he's on very thin ice with that job. So
interesting.
Going into the draft, I think offensive guard / tackle is their top priority.
Is Jordan Davis at the facility?
Yes, Jordan Davis has been there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's great to hear. So the turnout, would you approximate? Can you put a number on it?
I can't put a specific number. The only thing I know is that they feel they have great attendance. Yeah, I don't know the exact number of players.
Hey,
yeah.
Elliot, let's get to back to the O-line for a moment. So I know you put out earlier this week on social media how you perceive the 10 best offensive linemen to be in this draft. I'm curious where you think the cutoff is at 22. Like, who's off the board and who's on the board? Now, obviously, there's a chance they're going to jump up, but it strikes me like a lot of the names John has advocated for the offensive line are going to probably be gone 12, 14, 16. So what's the cutoff at 22? Who's available, and how much does it necessitate they move up to get the right guy if that's who they want?
Yeah, so I think looking at the offensive linemen, both the Oregon State guard and the Washington guard are probably going to be off the board at 22. So you probably have to make a slight move up if you want to get one of them. J.C. Latham out of Alabama, I think he's someone as well. So you're probably looking at moving up to 16 or so. To me, at 22, two names I would keep an eye on is Mims out of Georgia. He's viewed as maybe the best athlete in the draft at the tackle position. The issue with him is he's not played a ton. He has missed time due to injury. So he would be an extreme project at 22. He also is not projected to be able to play guard. But if he's there at 22, I could see him checking some of those boxes for them. Then the other name I think will be on the board at 22 that we probably haven't discussed enough from an offensive line perspective is Jordan Morgan. He's played tackle. He's projected to be able to play guard. He has a background in track and field. He's a super athletic guy. And I think he will be there at 22. He's also maybe like a top of the second round, later first round option. But you're right that a lot of the names we've discussed are going to be off the board. And it's probably more that second tier of guys.
So, Elliot, do I have to just, and all of us that don't want it, do we have to just eat it that James Bradbury is going to be a starter? Like, I'm amazed that there's not – I mean, there's some cornerback talk, but I'm amazed it's not more of a focal point. I cannot believe James Bradbury is probably a starter. Because I'll tell you this, if you don't get a corner in the first round, you're probably not starting a corner you drafted in the second round, and that irritates me.
So I don't think James Bradbury is probably a starter. If your issue is that he's on the roster, I think that – there's a good chance that come training camp, he will still be on the roster. I think that the offseason workouts probably matter for him more than any other player on the roster, other than maybe Tyler. But in terms of an ability to be here in training camp, if Bradbury has a bad offseason, if he has a bad mandatory minicamp, if he has a bad OTA, I could see them moving on from him. But in terms of starting, I mean, I think Kelee Ringo is going to get a real shot at winning that job. They invested, you know, some pretty decent draft capital in him last year. We'll see what happens with Isaiah Rogers, Eli Rick. So even if Bradbury's in camp, he might line up, you know, the first snap as a starter. But that job is by no means probably his, in my opinion.
So what do we know about the Isaiah Rogers thing, Elliot? Like, what I feel like I have no idea whether we could have him or not. Is it a coin flip?
So,
it's just based on whether they agree to reinstate him and it's entirely in Goodell's court? How does it work?
Yeah, so obviously yesterday a handful of players were reinstated that had been previously suspended for gambling. Isaiah Rogers was not one of them. So, you know, that's not that is a bit of a discouraging sign. I will say I don't think the Eagles would have signed Isaiah Rogers if they didn't feel he'd be coming back this year. Just from, you know, being around the team, the sense I get is that they expect him to be able to play this year. Now, obviously, that's in the hands of the commissioner, and that's not up to them. So, yeah, I yesterday the fact he wasn't reinstated isn't encouraging, but I still think that he'll probably be able to, you know, partake in OTAs at one point and be there for training camp.
Elliot, great work, buddy. We'll obviously talk to you quite a bit next week. I know it's going to be a big week for us here at WIP with the drafts and the Sixers playoffs, and obviously a Phillies week. Elliot, thanks, pal.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
All right, you got
Thanks,
it, man.
Elliot.
All right, 215-592-9494 to react to all this. Drop of the week is up ahead, and so too a whole bunch of calls.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.